Today on Brave, a new message from Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
No matter where you go and no matter who you serve, there's going to be times where it doesn't go your way. And it's not them being bad to you. It's God growing your character. It's God doing something in you. And you don't like it, but God loves it. He loves it. And it's through that that your testimony grows. And it's through that that your witness grows. And here's what God says. Laziness and entitlement are right out.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. If you're looking to improve your physical or financial health, there's no shortage of coaching available anywhere you look. But if you'd like to develop your spiritual health and grow your faith, well, you'll want to stay tuned for today's message from Pastor Jeff, where he lays out some practical biblical advice on how to grow in godliness. We're continuing our series, The Kingdom Embassy, learning to be more effective in living out our faith as ambassadors to God's kingdom. And the place to go if you ever need to catch up on one of these programs is bravemedia.online. Again, that's bravemedia.online, where you'll find all of Pastor Jeff's previous messages. But right now, let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy as we join Pastor Jeff for the start of today's lesson titled, Growth in Godliness.
Lord Jesus, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise for who you are. And Lord, we ask that during this time that you would speak directly to each one of us. Lord, that I would be accurate in the proclamation of the word. And Lord, you'd be helpful to me in teaching, and you would be helpful to us in hearing. And so now for all those gathered who desire to hear the word of the Lord, who will believe what Jesus says about you and will by faith put into practice what he shows you, will you agree with me very loudly this morning by saying the word, amen, amen. Personal development and personal growth are very important in all different aspects of our life. As a matter of fact, whether we're talking about relationships or we're talking about marriage or we're talking about parenting or we're talking about our finances, there's all sorts of books that we can purchase. There's all sorts of seminars that we can attend. There's different people that can educate us so that we can begin to grow in different areas of our life. Personal development and personal growth is very important. But wouldn't you know that when it comes to your spiritual life, it's just the same? That God wants you to grow in your hunger and desire for him. That God would like you to grow in your reverence for him. And wouldn't you know, it's not automatic. Have you ever wondered why it is that some people in the church just seem to have this devotion to Christ, this love for the Lord, this desire to serve him, this passion for worship, this love to get in the word, this hunger for prayer, and yet other people don't? I mean, have you ever been around somebody like, I wish I had what they had. I don't know how that happens. I just hope someday it just automatically clicks for me and then maybe I'll be as excited about Jesus as they are. If you've ever wanted to know how to grow in your faith, God has a good word for you today. He's got good news because God's desire is that each and every one of his children would grow in godliness, that they would grow in their devotion to him and they would grow in their reverence for him and their desire for him and their hunger and thirst after righteousness and for his word. And if you've ever wanted to know how to do that, that's what our message is on today. So I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles up to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to take a look at the first 11 verses together. And really, we're going to take a look at four errors or pitfalls that we want to reject or avoid altogether if we're really going to grow into who God wants us to be as his servants. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'll read verses 1 to 11, and then we'll unpack this together today. He says, all those who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of our God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. Those who have believers as their masters must not be disrespectful to them because they are brethren, but must serve them all the more because those who partake of the benefit are believers and beloved. Teach and preach these principles. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicion, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and depraved of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it. If we have food and covering with these, we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. And here in this text, as he teaches us how to grow in godliness, he's going to highlight four areas that we want to reject, four areas that we want to do away with if we are going to grow into the people that God wants us to be. If we're going to have a hunger and a reverence for God, this is it. And the first is this: growth in godliness rejects laziness and entitlement. Laziness and entitlement. As we've been going through this section of scripture in chapter 5, we took a look at different groups of people. We took a look at older men and younger men and how they're to be treated in the church. Older women, younger women, how they're to be treated in the church. Widows, how they're to be treated in the church. Leadership, elders, how they are to be treated in the church. Now we're going to take a look at what happens when you go outside the church and you're serving someone else, such as a boss, an employer, a supervisor, a coach, a teacher, someone that has authority over you. And we're going to take a look at two different groups of people. Those of you that are serving those that aren't believers, and those of you that are serving those who are. And the thing that you have to reject when you're serving someone else is laziness and entitlement. Notice what he says. He says, all who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. Wherever you are serving in life right now, and whoever you are serving under right now, has been given to you by God Almighty. That's the charge that you serve. And for many of you, you are serving under those who are not Christians. If you're not serving under those who are not Christians, blessings to you. But chances are, in your life, you're going to serve under somebody who's not a believer. You're going to have a non-Christian teacher. You're going to have a non-Christian coach. You're going to have a non-Christian boss. And what are you called to do when you serve someone like that? Here's what you do. You work hard and you serve them well. Amen. Let me say it again. Amen. You work hard and you serve them well. Because you need to realize it's not just them, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that you are serving. And why does he say to do that? So that your testimony won't be maligned. He tells us this. I mean, specifically, he says, so the name of God and our doctrine or our teaching will not be spoken against or blasphemed. Here's what he's saying. He says, serve in such a way that your non-Christian employer can't say of you, oh, they're a Christian, that's why they act like that. They're a Christian, that's why they're lazy. They're a student of mine, that's why they're lazy. They're a Christian, they go to that brave church, that's why they're lazy. All Christians are lazy. You say, well, who would say that about Christians? Can I just tell you, I know a lot of business owners. I know a lot of people that serve, Christian and non-Christian, and some have told me privately, I'll never hire another Christian again. They're some of the laziest people I've ever hired. How tragic is that? Not a brave church. Brave church should be the people that people are lining up to hire because of how well they serve and how hard they work. Because who invented work? God did. All the way back in the garden when he created Adam before the fall, he put him in the garden to do what? Work. Work is noble. Serve well. Don't be lazy as a Christian in what you do. Serve those over you who are in charge. What about if you have a believer who's a boss or a coach or a teacher? Notice verse 2. Those who have believers as their masters must not be disrespectful to them because they are brethren, but must serve them all the more because those who partake of the benefit are believers and beloved. He says, teach and preach these principles. He says, if you have a Christian boss, he goes, they're believers, they're family, they're brothers. We share the same God, so especially to them, do good. Why? Because sometimes when we have a Christian boss or a Christian employer, it's not laziness, it's entitlement. They understand we're all Christians. If I skip work, it's not a big deal. I'll make it up. He knows I'm a Christian. We forgive one another. No. We're called in Galatians 6 to do good, and especially to those who are of the household of God. Can I tell you this? As somebody who's been a Christian and has served in the church for about 30 years, sometimes, and this is not true at Brave Church, but sometimes people use ministry positions as a place of laziness and entitlement. And some church staffs are filled with laziness and entitlement. And some people believe because they got a job at a church 30 years ago that they're entitled to that job for the rest of their life, even if they don't do any work and even if they're not growing. Friends, that's wrong and it's sinful. God never calls us to laziness, and God never calls us to entitlement. It means this: if you're going to be a witness for Christ in whatever you do, work hard and serve well so that your testimony won't be maligned. So that people can't say, oh, the reason they're that way is because they're Christians. You know Christians, there's lazy and entitled people. No sir and no ma'am. That is not who we are. And why? Because we understand who it is that we're serving. Notice what it says in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3 and verses 23 and 24, he says this: slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those merely to please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. He goes on to say, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Not everybody in the world is called to quote unquote vocational ministry. That's a good thing. But every single person is called to ministry. You may take your paycheck from IBM. You may take your paycheck from Amazon. You may take your paycheck as a doctor, a dentist, a lawyer. Wherever you take your paycheck, not a problem. But you're just a missionary in those clothes doing the work of the Lord, however you're doing it. Did you know that? And that your work matters to the Lord, and you're working for the Lord, not for the people. You're serving the Lord. It's the Lord that you serve. Every single time that you go for wherever you're employed, whether you're the boss or the employee, you are serving the Lord, and your reward comes from Him. And why is this important? Because sometimes when we're serving others, we think they owe us. And if they don't give us what we need when we want, we get mad at them. God is saying He has you sovereignly in the position that you're in right now. It doesn't mean you shouldn't pray that you get out of it. It doesn't mean you shouldn't pray that you get another job. But as long as you're there, as long as you're in that place, you serve the Lord and you serve Him well, because it's about the testimony of Jesus Christ for which you serve. And I'm telling you, there are times in your life, I've lived long enough, where God is going to design circumstances in your life you're not going to like, and it's not even about you, it's about Him. And it's about growing you in godliness. You said you wanted to grow, so God designed circumstances. I learned this my senior year in college. As we went into spring practice, I thought I was going to be the starter or the backup for our football team. After 1 week of practice, our coaching staff sat me down and said, because we're building for the future, not only are you not going to start, but you're going to be the lowest on the depth chart. And when the refreshman that we recruited, we're going to bring him in and put him ahead of you after 5 years. So I quit. And I told the coach, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And he was a Christian coach, still a friend of mine to this day. I said, what you did is wrong. Show me on film where I'm not the guy. I was crushed. I was angry with the Lord too, because for 5 years, I thought the Lord was leading me to lead the University of Illinois so that one day I would be on TV, and I promised God when we won the national championship, I would give Him credit for what He did in my life. And I thought that was a really good deal. And so we had this partnership together, and it wasn't working. So I was mad at the Lord, and I went home and I said, Lord, I can't believe this, and fine, you got me. I know you want me to go into ministry, and I'll do it. And I was mad. And after about a week of being upset with the Lord and hearing the Lord, I heard the Lord speak to my heart. He said, Jeff, I'm not asking you to quit. I'm just wondering if you'll be my servant on the team. And I remember saying, I'll be on the scout team as a fifth-year senior. I said, Lord, that will be humiliating and embarrassing. And the Lord said to me, I know how humiliating and embarrassing feels. Will you be my servant on the team? Well, He had me. So I called up my coach and I said to him, Coach, I'm sorry for what I said. If you'll have me back, I will come back to the team. And I promise you this, I'll never say a bad thing about you. I'll never say a bad thing about the coaching staff. I'll never say anything other than just serve any way you want. And they had a little meeting and they voted unanimously to have me come back. And I came back and I never said a word negative. But every day before I went to the stadium, I had to pray. Do you know why? Because this text is not about behavioral modification. This text is if the Lord doesn't change your heart, you can't do it. And every day I will go before the Lord before I went to the stadium, like, Lord, I hate doing what you're calling me to do. And I don't want to be a part of this team, but I don't want the testimony of you to be maligned. So you're going to have to teach me how to endure this today. I did that all season long. It was during that season of absolute misery on the outside that the Lord was growing my heart for him. I led more people to the Lord that year than I did in any of the other years combined. I grew in my faith that year more than I'd ever seen. I saw God answer prayers. I was leading Bible studies all over the campuses, and I still wasn't seeing that God was using me that way. It really wasn't until years later where I realized God wasn't just crushing an idol of sports. God was crushing a specific idol that I had in my life at the University of Illinois that I thought that that was what my life was going to be all about. And he took it all away, and I praise him for it. But at the time, it was painful. What am I saying to you? No matter where you go and no matter who you serve, there's going to be times where it doesn't go your way. And it's not them being bad to you. It's God growing your character. It's God doing something in you. He's crushing you so that you can be more effective for him. And you don't like it, but God loves it. He loves it. And it's through that that your testimony grows. And it's through that that your witness grows. And here's what God says. Laziness and entitlement are right out. Laziness, and I was never lazy and I was never entitled. I served all the way to the end. And there's several different examples I can give, but all of us have this tendency in our flesh to want to be lazy or entitled because we're not getting what we want. He says, not for the testimony of Jesus. You work hard and you serve well. Reject that air of laziness and entitlement. You serve the Lord. By the way, for some of you that are your own boss and you say, well, I don't really have a chance for anybody over me. Hey, I got an idea. This Christmas, when you go out to shop or you go to a restaurant, treat people the way Jesus would want you to treat them. Because you'll have every opportunity not to. I mean, just go wait in long lines. Just go have people tell you to be patient because things aren't going your way. And then treat them the way you would want to treat them if Jesus was actually the one that was serving you. Amen? Doesn't matter whether the person's a believer or a non-believer. Don't malign the word of God. Be used of him. I mean, even the Son of Man, it says, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Philippians 2 says, consider others more important than yourselves. That's what it means. It's not about your success. It's about the glory of God through the gospel that God is trying to grow you. Amen? So don't give in to laziness or entitlement. Number two is this, growth in godliness rejects false teaching through prideful teachers. Growth in godliness rejects false teaching through prideful teachers. If you want to grow, you can't listen to false teaching through prideful teachers. Notice what he says in verse 3. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. You say, well, what is that? Sound words are healthy words. Well, what are sound words? This book. This is where you get all your health. This is where you get spiritual vitality. It's from the Word of God. If anybody is teaching anything apart from the Word of God and you're hearing somebody talk and you say to yourself, I have no idea where they're getting that. I don't see it in my Bible anywhere. That's not of the Lord. He says, and those of the Lord Jesus Christ. What were the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the gospel. That Christ died according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised according to the scriptures. And through repentance, which is turning from our sin, and through faith in Jesus, which is belief that he's the only way we can have life and have life in his name. It's the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, if anybody doesn't have the word of God and they don't have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And number three, teaching or doctrine that conforms to godliness, meaning that the purpose, the end game, the goal is that God wants all of his people to grow in godliness. Well, what's godliness? Godliness is that hunger and desire that grows your reverence for the Lord. The purpose of good Bible teaching is not just so you say, I like the teacher. Good Bible teaching is so that you're growing in godliness. You're growing in reverence to the Lord. You're hungry for the things of God. If you turn back to chapter 1 of this book in 1 Timothy, we told you what the goal of good teaching is, but the goal of our instruction is what? Love. 1 Timothy 1:5. Good Bible teaching translates into your greater love for the Lord and greater love for others, which grows your hunger and your reverence for the Lord. If you've been coming to Brave for a period of time, hearing the unadulterated word of God and putting into practice what he shows you, I promise you, you're not the same person you were when you first got here. You may have been a Christian when you came, and you may not have been a Christian when you came, but you're not in the same place that you used to be. And once you get a steady diet of the word that translates into love and godliness, you hunger for it and you won't tolerate any less. Amen? Because God is growing you through that. He says, that's what's important. He says, now if anyone doesn't teach like that, notice what he says about them. He says they are what? Conceited and understands nothing. Conceited means to be puffed up. It's a windbag. Understands nothing. They don't know anything. If they're not teaching the gospel and they're not teaching the word of God and they're not growing a congregation in godliness, they're conceited and they're prideful and they don't know anything. I mean, the best illustration I heard this week when I was reading a commentary was a guy that called him conceited ignoramus, right? We have a lot of people that stand behind pulpits that are no more than just a conceited ignoramus. You say, well, how do I know what one of those looks like? He tells you. He has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words out of which arise envy and strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and depraved of the truth who suppose that godliness is a means of great gain. Instead of teaching the word, instead of teaching the gospel, instead of growing people in holiness, here's what they're interested in. Morbid interest about controversial questions and disputing words. These are the people that won't just read the word and say, here's what it says, here's what it means. They'll read the word and they'll read Genesis 1, for instance, and they'll say, you know what? God created two genders, but that's not what it means. That was so old-fashioned back then. There's more than that, and we got to understand gender identity. No, a preacher that knows the word says God created two genders, male and female. You're one or the other, and you always will be whatever God created you. You get to Genesis 2. And in Genesis 2, you'll read about marriage and how marriage is between one man and one woman for life. But no. Those that want to be controversial about words say, well, that's what it used to be. But you got to understand now, love is what really matters. And it does. No, it matters. Because there is no other kind of marriage. Right? You read Genesis 1 and you see that God created the world in 6 days, but not these ignoramuses. No, they want to tell you, you don't have, you know, 7 PhDs in all the different languages. So you really don't understand what a day is. But we just read the word and say, we know a day means 24 hours, so we actually know what a day is. And so we're going to teach the word of God. Do you see the difference? And when you see people that aren't opening the word or are questioning the word, that's what he's talking about. And some people never open the word at all when they teach. And I'm not talking about technology. I think you can use, you know, iPad. I'm getting older. I may have to go that way someday and increase font size. I'm not talking about technology. I'm talking about using the word of God to teach God's people. That's important. Some people that you see in churches, some people you see on TV are doing the right things. Other people, it's just their own cotton picking opinion about what they think people need to hear. And then they patch a Bible verse on it here and there to make you think they're spiritual. It's wrong every single time. Amen? It's wrong.
You're listening to Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub and the start of a new message titled Growth in Godliness. We'll continue this lesson on Monday, so make plans to join us again. But in the meantime, catch up on any previous messages you might have missed from our series, The Kingdom Embassy, by visiting bravemedia.online, where you'll find all of Pastor Jeff's previous messages and other faith-building resources and opportunities from the ministry of Brave. And one resource you'll definitely want to get is the Brave Church app, which you can download from any app store to your smartphone or mobile device. With the app, you'll have complete access to teaching videos, ministry updates, and ways to connect with the Brave Church community, no matter where you are. So log into your favorite app store, search for Brave Church Denver, and download this free faith-building app today. Before we reach the end of our program, just want to take a moment to invite you to be part of our weekend services in person at Brave Church. If you're listening from anywhere in the Denver metro area, you can join us at our campus in Englewood or our venue in Westminster. No matter where you live, you can still spend your Sunday mornings with us through our live stream. To learn more, head to bravemedia.online, scroll to the bottom of our homepage, and click the button that says Brave Church for all the details. And if you have any questions about the ministry or thoughts about today's message, we love hearing from you. You can reach out anytime by email, hello@bravechurch.co. That brings us to the end of our program. So glad you've joined us. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Have a great weekend and join us Monday for the next part of today's message, Growth in Godliness. That's coming up next Monday, right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.